according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
So is my mic on? Hello? Is this blinking or on?
It's all good.
It's all good, so can you hear it?
He's risen.
No, I forgot how to start. Okay. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away, but when they looked inside, they didn't see the body. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and rise again on the third day." Then they remembered his words, and they ran back and found the 11 and told them everything that had happened. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joanna and the other women who had told them these words. But they thought these words were an idle tale and didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and stooping and looking in, he saw the grave clothes lying by themselves. And then he went home amazed at what had happened. Now on that same day, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking and discussing with each other all these things that had taken place. And Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" Then they stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that doesn't know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They answered, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, prophet who is mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be crucified, condemned to death, and how he died. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem us all. Moreover, early this morning, some women from our group astounded us. They went to the tomb, but they did not find his body. They told us that indeed they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some men from our group went and found the tomb exactly as they had described it, but they did not see him." And Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them all the things about himself that were written in all the scriptures. When they came near the village to which they were going, he walked on ahead as if he were continuing on in his journey. But they strongly urged him, saying, 'Come and stay with us, for it's evening and the day is nearly over.' And so he went in to stay with them. And while they were at the table, he took a loaf of bread, and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from from their sight. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were walking on the road with him and he was explaining the scripture to us?" And that very night, they went back to Jerusalem and they found the 11 gathered there with their companions. Now they were saying, "He's risen and he's appeared to Simon." And then they told them everything that had happened to them on the road and how Jesus had become known to them in the breaking of the bread. And this is the good news of the Lord.
Praise the Lord Christ.
Please be seated. And I'd like to ask the young people to come forward. If you're visiting today, you know that we have a special time for the children called Word for Children. And it happens right out here in the pink chairs. And Nyjah is going to be with you today. She's there at the back, if you want to head back there. You're hearing about the empty tomb and Sylvester and the magic pebble. It's not from Luke, but it's really, really close. No hearing of the gospel story ever created faith in anyone. No choir piece, beautiful as it was, ever created faith in anyone. No coming to an Easter Sunday service or sharing the peace with people or dressing up nice and coming to church ever created faith. That's not what creates faith. And I, of all people, should know because I was born into the church, baptized in the church, raised in the church, every Sunday in the church with parents who had ministries in the church, in church way more than I wanted to be. It never created faith in me. Oh, it creates familiarity with the story, for sure, but not faith itself. Faith is something far more mysterious. In fact, I was 30 years old, in the worst despair I'd ever been in my life, sitting in a chair sulking, and a woman came up behind me and put her hands on my shoulders. And in that moment, I felt that they were the hands of Jesus, that it was Jesus himself making himself known to me. And in my chair, in that moment, faith was born. My faith got born with a phrase something like this: "Oh my God, it's true! That guy is not just a character in a story that I've heard about all my life. He's actually risen, and he actually loves me." See, faith is born in us when we encounter the Christ. Martin Luther said, "The Bible is not Christ. It's not God." He might as well have said, "Neither is church nor hydrangeas and glass and flowers and hymns and water and even sacraments. These things are not God." Luther said, "The Bible is the cradle that holds the Christ child." And I would say these things that we have there, mechanisms and symbols, powerful beyond ordinary objects, but they point us to God. They point us to the things that make for faith. But faith is born in the encounter. A number of years ago, I was at a conference. And, you know, I turn everything into a church thing, whether it's meant to be churchy or not. It wasn't a church conference. It was a conference, but it was church. It turned out that at this conference, we had a fast for 2 or 3 days. Nothing but water and lemons for 3 days. At the conclusion of the 3 days, the conference leader said, "Today we're going on a field trip. Carry nothing with you, no purse, no bags, no extra tunic, no bread, no ID, no money. You might need a sweater. And we went to the beach, and we had instructions for this day, and the instructions were, this is a silent day for you to discover the goodness of the world, the friendliness of humanity. So on this day, you can only say two things. You can say, may I join you? And you can say, I'm hungry. But you cannot beg. No begging. And by the way, no sign language. No communicating in other ways, like nodding and winking, and like none of that. These are the things that you're allowed to say, and you can say them any way you want, but that's it. It was like I discovered the world that day. I walked around near the beach just saying to people, may I join you? I got invited to go bowling. There was a bus that was out of service on the sidewalk, and the bus driver was playing one of those kid games, you know, it's on a little basket on a stick with a ball attached to it, and you fling that thing up and try to catch the ball. You know that thing? That's a possible thing that we gave up because we couldn't do it. He was doing that, and I poked my head inside his bus, and I said, may I join you? And he put the bus in service and asked me where he could take me. Now, this was long enough ago that it was still when we had coins, meters, parking meters. And there was a guy that was emptying the meters. And I went up to him and I said, may I join you? And he taught me how to empty those meters. I helped a guy water his flowers. I was offered French fries. I was asked if I needed help. I was offered a taxi ride. Somebody pointed out where the soup kitchen was. I must have really looked hungry. And let me tell you, I was hungry. But even when I saw people eating, I couldn't think of how to tell them I was hungry without it occurring like I was begging. There was a homeless guy who was asking for money, and I said to him, may I join you? And he patted the seat beside him. And I sat next to him, and I decided that I was going to stay until five people acknowledged his existence, and it took over an hour. I waited for the bus with somebody who put his arm around me and said, no one has said hello to me in a month. And he put his head on my shoulder and cried. But all I said was, may I join you? I was completely blown away. And the day was getting on, and I walked down to the beach out of the city area, and there was no one around really, just the sand, and there was a boardwalk, and there were a couple of benches on the way, but I want you to get the idea that there weren't shops or homes or anything. It was just like the parking lot and the beach. And there was a family sitting at one of these benches, a man and his wife and their two small children. And I walked up to them and said, may I join you? And the man got up from the bench and offered me the seat with his family. And I was really grateful that they didn't try to talk to me because, well, I was trying to keep the rules. And it's really weird, you know, when someone's with you and you're trying to have a conversation with them and they're going. He said to me, how are you today? And I said, and he didn't say anything else. And we sat there together, and the kids were playing. And you know how when little kids don't really know you, that they get kind of scared of you? You know that thing? And I thought, you know, it's not really polite that this family asked me to join them, like, let me join them, and I'm scaring their kids. So I got up, and I crossed the sidewalk, and there was a little retaining wall, and I sat on that retaining wall, and I was maybe as far from them as Jim in the back is to me now. And the man came over to me, and he had a bag, and he said, you know, if you're hungry, I have a meal. And he gave me the meal and turned before he was even waiting for me to say thank you, for which I was also grateful. And then he went back to his family, and they packed up their stuff and got in their car and drove away. Now, some things you have to know about me. I'm kind of fanatical about not putting stuff in the landfills. So I really avoid styrofoam and plastic forks and all that kind of stuff, right? And I'm also allergic to a high number of foods, or have sensitivity to a high number of foods. So here it is. I can't eat wheat, dairy, soy, eggs, almonds, but you get it, right? So I'm holding this box and I'm thinking, this bag thing, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be really great. I look in the bag, which is a paper bag, by the way, I look in the bag and the carton that the meal is in is made out of 100% recyclable materials. I open the box, oh, the other thing I can't have is lunch meat, so I'm allergic to nitrates, right? So I open the box, and what's in the box? Chunk chicken wrapped in lettuce. Vegetable spring rolls wrapped in rice paper. Little cardboard thing with two sauces. There's a thing on this that says allergen free. So I'm sitting on this retaining wall, and I'm thinking, people are really good. But it isn't like I gave them an order and said, you know, go out and get what I need, and here's all my restrictions, and by the way, if you can, please put it in a recycled box. So the graciousness of the gift, that was human giving. But what was in that bag, that was all God. When I opened that and looked inside of there, you know what came to my mind? The pattern of the cradle that all my years in the church had built. Scripture came to me. Psalm 139 came to me, to be specific. Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, and you're acquainted with all my ways. I might add, peculiar as they are. I could continue to write the song. You know what I'm sensitive to, what I'm allergic to. You know how hard it is for me to tell anyone I'm hungry. You know how scared I am of people. Like, you know it all. Like, my experience was that whole day had been laid out for me to get to that moment where the cradle would rock and wake and I would have an experience that he is risen. He's risen. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
And this is how our faith is born. We take Easter Sunday, our experience at the font, the beautiful glass created, by the way, by 25 women who thought they couldn't create anything. We take our sacraments and our music and our word, and we line the cradle with it. And then we head out into the world in search of him. Because you know what? He's risen. And he's everywhere. The response is less known, but he's everywhere indeed. Quirky things that happen to you too. The world outside of this sacred space calls it coincidence. I call it encounter, visitation. I call it God throwing you a lifesaver. God is out in the world packing a lunch for you, growing flowers, sitting in an idle bus, waiting for you to come bowling, empty parking meters, whatever it is, he's risen.
He is risen indeed.
And he is everywhere.
He is everywhere indeed.
Thank you, God, for these symbols that point to you, for the cradle that we built, for these symbols that point to you. And now we beg you, come join us on our way. Draw near, even if we don't recognize you. Make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread, in the conversation on the way, in the burning of our hearts, in the afterthoughts of the night. You are risen.
You are risen indeed.
And you are everywhere.
You are everywhere.